بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and a very warm welcome to this Thursday afternoon's live edition of Revival in Motion. The program is a weekly compilation of reflections, Islamic history, and life lessons, personal development, so that we can grow and strengthen ourselves, seeking to become practicing believers and more conscious of the role of Islam and how important Islam is to our lifestyle. On the program today, inshallah, we're going to be focusing on some very interesting topics, and that's what I'd like to share with you. So on this hour, we're going to be looking at an outline of how a Muslim should deal with criticism. It's something that we all face at some time or the other. It could be a nasty email or a mean comment, or someone says something to us and they say they don't like us, and we start falling apart. So we then dwell and we get stuck on a point of, why did she say that? Why did they say that? How could they do that to me? Why me? And so we start questioning ourselves. And as a result of that, many of us can be very discouraged and disheartened about what we've been criticized. So today on the program, inshallah, and I want us to focus on our solutions, as always, from Quran and Sunnah. I want us to understand how we can deal with criticism, and on that level, even how we can deal with a rejection, be it at work, in relationships, in family situations. How do we deal with criticism? What is the best way of dealing with criticism, and what can we do to ensure that we emerge unscathed, but rather that we learn valuable lessons on how to deal with it, inshallah. So a very warm welcome to the program, and I hope that inshallah on the hour together today we can work towards clearing up criticism. Many of us see it only from a negative angle. So how can we look at it from a more empowering stance? And how can we allow criticism to actually build us instead of break us? That's going to be in our first segment of the hour. And then in the second segment of the hour, I look forward to sharing with you in our Islamic history series more on Aisha radiallahu anha. And today we're going to be learning about the students that she taught and mentored. We have for the last few months learnt about Aisha radiallahu anha, her contributions, her legacy, her intelligence, her bravery. But today we're going to be learning about the impact that she had on her students and those whom she mentored. That's coming up on the program today, and it does promise, as always, to be exciting and very, very interesting indeed. But before we get to that, I thought we'd open with our reflection of today. And it's entitled, What is Our IQ? So I'd like you to listen to this reflection. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said in a hadith to the effect that the most intelligent person is the one who remembers death often. If a person is thought to be very intelligent, but fails exam after exam, soon all those around him or her will begin to think that that person is not really very intelligent after all. To get through life with our faith intact, with good deeds, and with Allah's pleasure, that's our greatest goal. And that's the biggest exam we will ever face. If we fail the exam of life, how can we call ourselves or regard ourselves as super intelligence? Regardless of what else our so-called intelligence allows us to accumulate, wealth, fame, luxury, because they'll all go to waste with death. When we have to stand before Allah and we have to face the consequences of life for eternity, it is really about those of us who have passed our test with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the dunya that we're in, the life that we're living, is one big exam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one big test. It has assignments, it has huge exams, it sometimes has a lot of speed bumps. You know, when you sit down for an exam, sometimes those exams can be tough. Sometimes you could study hard and prepare well for an exam, but no matter how hard you do prepare, you somehow just manage to get by and get done with the exam. That's very much like the exam of this life, in the sense that some exams that we write are much easier to pass than others. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to pass the exams of this dunya. Ameen. So the question we need to ask is, are we busy answering the questions of what to believe and what to do? Or are we busy entertaining ourselves? SubhanAllah. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the people of Jahannam, the people of the fire, will say about themselves, had we but listened or used our intelligence, we should not now be among the companions of the fire. Allahu Akbar. And we're so engrossed in our life with many different pursuits that the reality of death doesn't occur to us. So constant remembrance of death will keep us from getting easily distracted by the dunya. And it will help us and keep us on track so that we can pass the exam and the test of dunya. You see, when we keep death in mind, it helps us to stay away from sin. And it also motivates us to do good deeds without delay. And so it is that we all need to constantly remind ourselves that the most intelligent person is the one who gives the exam of the dunya with full attention. Because there are no retakes, there are no stops. You write this exam of dunya once. You're sent to this earth once. And so you either live a life that pleases Allah, or you live a life that earns His wrath and anger. This is the exam of the dunya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us and our family and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam successful in passing this exam. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. If you've just joined us, you're listening to Revival in Motion on Radio Islam, and we've begun with our inspiration of the day. We're reflected on the exam of the dunya, and that the best way for us to pass the exam of the dunya successfully is for us to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And today, I'm alluding to one particular sunnah, the sunnah of remembrance of death, remembering death, realizing that this world is not forever, it is not our eternity. And when we remind ourselves of death, it helps us to stay away from sin and it motivates us to do good deeds without procrastinating. How often do we say, when I get older, when I get married, when I have children, then I'll start wearing hijab, or when Allah answers this dua of mine, then I'll pray regularly, or when I become more religious, I'll read more Quran, or after I go for Hajj, then I'll start doing ABC. Why do we always attach conditions towards becoming better? We should be spontaneous and ambitious and enthusiastic to do more good all the time. Because again, the most intelligent person is the one who remembers maut, who remembers death often. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Ameen. Now on the program today, as promised, I'm looking forward to sharing with you a Muslim's guide to dealing with criticism. This program, as well as all the previous ones, will be up on podcast. You can go to radioislam.org.za, and on the top right hand side of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that and onto my name, and you will find all the podcasts there from previous programs. Alhamdulillah. So as I promised you, I'm going to talk today about how do we deal with criticism, and on another level, how to deal with rejection as well. Both of these, you know, we often talk about constructive criticism, and it's very important we realize what this means. But before talking about receiving criticism, what about giving up criticism? Some of us are very ready to give out criticism, but not ready to receive, right? So how do we dish out, how do we hand out what we call constructive criticism? Now, if we are giving out, if we are sharing criticism of something, but we are doing it with the correct intention and to benefit and empower others, there is only khair and goodness in that. But if we do not intend to bring out a positive change in the person that we are planning to criticize, then it is better to avoid criticizing. Our reference to this would be the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In a hadith narrated by At-Tirmidhi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "The people whom I hate the most and who are the furthest from me on the day of judgment are those who talk endlessly, uselessly, and those who put down others, and those who show off when they talk." So the three type of people who are furthest from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and whom he dislikes the most, number one, those who talk uselessly. So as believers, even what we speak, even our kalam, even our speech should have benefit, should have goodness, should have some type of purpose. Secondly, and those who put down others. Some people only criticize others so they can put them down and make their own selves feel better. And thirdly, those who show off when they talk, show off about their wealth, their health, their blessings, their beauty, their education, their whatever it is. And these are all blessings from Allah. So how can we be boastful of them, right? So remember, when we want to criticize something constructively, ask, is there benefit in this? And when I criticize something or someone, will I be empowering or disempowering this person? And thirdly, when I criticize something or someone, in the process of that, am I showing off about my own self or my own resources and abilities? May Allah make us of those who do not talk uselessly, who do not put others down, and who do not show off when they talk. Ameen. The second thing that we should do if we are the ones criticizing something is to be gentle. So, meaning let's not insult the person that we are giving constructive criticism, or if we want to call it feedback to. So let's be gentle. Because if we're not gentle and kind in the way that we approach something that we're criticizing, we can end up with strained relationships. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the Sahihain refer to this. Whoever believes in Allah and the last day, let him speak good or else keep silent. So let's avoid making unnecessary or crude personal remarks. Rather, if we're criticizing something in a constructive way, let's use kind and gentle words to communicate to the other person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Baqarah, verse 83, the translation of which is, "And speak to people good," meaning good words. Now, following up from the hadith that I shared of At-Tirmidhi, don't boast, don't show off. Now, when you're pointing out the mistakes or the shortcomings of someone else, it's very easy to fall into a trap of boasting about our own selves, about talking on our own accomplishments, or speaking with a sense of superiority that puts the other person down. Remember, when you're criticizing someone or something, it's never about feeding your ego. It should be about helping the other person to improve, to become better. In the Quran, in Surah 31, verse 18, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and the translation is, And do not turn your cheek toward people, and do not walk through the earth exultantly. Indeed, Allah does not like everyone self-deluded and boastful. Another rule, when we're going to criticize something or someone, be concise, be to the point about what you're criticizing. It's very easy to get carried away again with our ego, and we end up being so vague about our criticism, or we end up actually putting people down. So when we are criticizing something constructively, be to the point, be concise, so that you can really help the other person. Because if that's what you want to do, it's about getting to the point clearly, concisely, and respectfully. It is never and should never be about our egos. Two more things that a Muslim should do when constructively criticizing something or someone. Do so in a private space. Advise the person or point out the shortcomings in a private space and with discretion. We don't want to be humiliating someone, right? We don't want to put their faults out in public, lay the dirty linen or laundry out. We want to help that person in a space that they're feeling comfortable. We want to honor them, and we don't want to bring any disrespect to them. So when we're trying to constructively criticize, let's not do it in a public arena. And that's one of the biggest challenges we face as Muslims today. With social media, where everything is accessible to everyone at all times, it's so dangerous. Just at the click of a button on the keyboard, we're all keyboard warriors and typing away, but not realizing if we are hurting someone's feelings, or if we are putting them down, or if we are the self-deluded and boastful. So when we want to criticize something constructively, please, let's do it in a private arena. And of course, a Muslim is not one who just lashes out some type of criticism, but who does provide constructive criticism that will empower the next person. And one of the best ways to provide constructive criticism is to try and provide some solutions, some ideas, the way forward. Because that will be the most productive and constructive type of criticism we can offer the other person. And inshallah, that advice will probably be very well received. If you've just joined us, we're talking about how, as Muslims, we should be dealing with criticism, both when giving out criticism, and we will, after the break, talk about how to receive criticism as a Muslim. If anything, this segment has taught you and I how all-encompassing the Quran and Sunnah is. That it teaches us how to go about even those trickier moments in life when we feel that we have to criticize something or provide some type of constructive feedback, that there are actual ways of doing so without hurting someone else's feelings. In Islam, it always comes back to one common thread. Are you doing this for the pleasure of Allah? And is it to feed your ego or to starve your ego? Ultimately, that's the question you and I need to be asking ourselves. It's never really about the other person. It's always about you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You and your relationship with Allah. The way you hand out or dish out criticism is a reflection of your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always remember that. At 29 minutes past the hour of 2 Central African Time, we're going to go for our first ad break of the hour. And when we return, we turn the coin over and we find out, how do we receive criticism? I'd love to know from you, how do you hand out criticism? And how do you receive criticism? What's your advice? for others. You can send us a WhatsApp to +60 13 260 8592 or an email to Rayhana, rayhanah@gmail.com. More coming up after this break. Stay with us. We're talking about how to dish out and deal with criticism based on Quran and Sunnah. How do you handle feedback and criticism? Before the break, we spoke about how to hand out criticism, how to give out feedback that's constructive, empowering, genuine, honest, but also respectful. And I asked the question, how do you deal with criticism? When you give out criticism and when you receive it as well, how do you deal with it? What's your mindset approach on it as a believer? You can WhatsApp to +60 13 260 8592, or you could send an email to Rayhana, rayhanah@gmail.com. Before the break, we spoke about how to deal with criticism when you're the one giving out criticism. And to summarize, we said, when you're criticizing someone or something, it should be in a private space, private arena. Try and be as short and to the point as possible. Don't come from a point of your ego. Don't be, you know, boastful or insulting to the person. Make sure that your intention is correct. But when you're going to criticize something or someone, you're doing it with the correct intentions. And try and provide some type of solutions for the person as well. Now, how do we accept criticism? It's very difficult to accept criticism with a smile. I mean, I know as well, we're all human, right? It's not always easy. Sometimes we accept it with tears, sometimes we accept it with confusion or sadness or worry, or anger, or grief, or anxiety. There are many different emotions attached with accepting criticism, whether it's in your personal space, your work space, your community space, the educational field, whatever it is in, it sometimes gives us a hard knock on the head, doesn't it? So how, as Muslims, should we accept criticism in a healthy way, as a Muslim should? The first thing that we can do is turn to the most powerful resources, Salah and Quran. Make wudu, pray 2 rak'ahs of Salah, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow you the understanding and the grace to put aside ego and to understand, you know, what this person or people were criticizing you about, and what can you learn from it as well. Because we spoke about, you know, giving out criticism and said that that also comes from a space of ego if not done correctly. But receiving criticism also, when we become, you know, unreasonably angry or distraught, we also need to ask ourselves, is my reaction coming from a point of ego? So Salah is very calming, just the positions in Salah, knowing that you are connecting to Allah who understands you, who knows you, who knows your strengths and weaknesses better than anyone else, and who knows what's in your heart. Salah will give you tremendous comfort, even the position of Sajda with the head on the ground, subhanAllah. And then dua, plenty of it. So make dua and ask Allah to help you. Help you so that you don't become angry and hurt and bitter, so you don't become suspicious or arrogant. Alright? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in many places of the Quran, reminding us of what paradise is. But one of the most beautiful examples is in Surah Al-Imran, and we often share this ayah, verse 134. So Surah 3, verse 134. In English it translates as, "And hasten to forgiveness from your Lord, and a garden as wide as the heavens and the earth, prepared for the righteous, who spend during ease and hardship, and who restrain anger, and who pardon the people, and Allah loves the doers of good." And then in Surah 49, verse 12, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala furthermore says, O you who have believed, avoid much assumption, meaning negative assumption. So to avoid emotions of anger and hurt and betrayal and resentment and suspicion entering our hearts, we have to seek Allah's help. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith narrated by Sahih Muslim, no one who has an atom's weight of arrogance in his heart will enter paradise. Now when we're receiving criticism, when we're on the receiving end, it can be difficult for us to see it from the other person's point of view. You know, all we may be thinking is, how could they criticize us or me? How could they do that? But if we pray that salah and make that dua and ask for the ego to be pushed away, we can come to a realization that, alhamdulillah, the other person or party hold us in good and high and esteemed opinion. I mean, why would they spend or waste their time to give us constructive feedback, except that they want the best for us? You know, we always speak about husnul dhann and husnul dhann billah. So having the best opinion, highest opinion of Allah and on earth, having the highest opinion, the high good opinion of insan as well, inshallah. And the next is, in humility, when we pray salah, when we make dua, we calm down, we can reflect on what's being said, and then we can realize, is there room for improvement? From this person's constructive feedback and criticism, are there lessons I can learn from this or from them? And then set out and strategize. From what they've criticized or provided feedback on, how can you be better? Think of it as a gift, as a present to you, on becoming a better you. Now another ingredient that's so important in our psyche, and that many of us lack, either due to lifestyle or background issues, personal issues, is self-confidence. You see, once you've prayed salah and made dua and you've pushed aside the ego and you listed down all the criticism or feedback and you're looking at what you can do with that, and if you realize, well, hey, I cannot do much with it, it's not constructive, there's no type of real solution or help the person's giving, then put it aside. Don't harp over it, just leave it aside. There's no need to react negatively or poisonously to the next to that person. Just put it aside. Put it aside. And remember, there's a difference between self-confidence and pride. A Muslim has self-confidence, and that is confidence knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us that internal compass, and that we also know where our strengths and weaknesses are, and that we acknowledge those honestly. So these are some ways that we can look at dealing with criticism in our lives, so that we can be more genuine, more sincere, more pleasant when we are giving criticism, and that we can be more humble and more confident when we receive that criticism as well. Now remember, if you are criticized for something you never did, right, and in that way, if it's, you know, questioning the honor or the izzah of a lady, subhanallah, then yes, to be silent is not sufficient. You need to speak up about it. But here when I'm talking about criticism, I'm talking about it on a much smaller scale and not on devastating scales such as that. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and protect our honor and our izzah as well. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. At the end of the day, remember that the heart also has diseases. Whether you are the one giving out, dishing out the criticism, or you're the one dealing with the criticism, the diseases of the heart come into play. And part of this is understanding what these are. And one of them is riya. That's also a disease of the heart. Okay? So when we are involved in criticism, let's see how we respond and how we react. perhaps what we're being criticized about is literally that we lacked in sincerity, that we lacked sincerity, or we lacked genuineness. So it's very important to ask that when we're criticized, what are the lessons that we can learn from it? Even if that criticism is not justified, but what lesson can I draw from it? How can I become better at that? And how can I react in a way that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Remember, at the end of the day, it's always about you and your Creator, you and your response, and that impacts on your response with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We've been talking about how to give out constructive criticism as a Muslim and how to receive it as well. I hope, inshallah, that it's been a reminder, that it's been enlightening, and that it empowers you. So the next time you're faced on either side of the fence, you know how to deal with it as a believer would. You're listening to Revival in Motion, and it's almost time for us to head into our third segment of the hour. That's where we turn our attention to the books of history and present to you more on the compelling narrative of one of Islam and the world's most inspiring personalities. Join us after this break to discover more about Aisha radiallahu anha and the legacy that she left in her students. Stay with us. Coming up in this last segment of the hour, I look forward to sharing your correspondence, your reflections on today's topics, and your wonderful, valuable advice to me and to the listeners. We also have one last segment of the hour that I know many of you are looking forward to. You've been following her journey, her life, her legacy for the past 7 months. And as sad as we are to be, well, 3/4 way through or more, and drawing much closer to the end of her story, we've been unfolding and discovering the legacies that she's lived, the incredible personality that she was, the lessons that we continue to learn from her. We're talking about Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the daughter of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and most importantly, the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Aisha as-Siddiqa. We're talking about her life, we're talking about the legacies she's left behind, and the invaluable contribution she's made to the Ummah and to mankind. Today we discuss her students, and discover over the next few weeks, what have the legacies been that she's left with them? How does she train, mentor, guide, educate and nurture them? Aisha radiallahu anha had a special talent for passing her information to others. With no children of her own to raise and educate, she was the mother of all. She found orphans and needy people and fought to educate useful members of society. She not only provided their material needs, but aimed to provide their, turn them into stores and reservoirs of knowledge. During those days, Medina Munawwara was like the heart of the Muslim world in terms of knowledge. The foremost scholar of the city was Aisha, who was frequently visited by one and all who sought information. And when she went to Makkah al-Mukarramah to perform the Hajj, a tent was set up between the Hira and Sabir mountains, and people visited her there and were very enlightened by what she shared. She would use her days to learn and teach. She taught many students in different fields, primarily in the field of hadith. It is because of her that thousands of authentic ahadith are available to every single Muslim until the last day. May Allah be pleased with her. Her door was open to everyone, whether it was free people or slaves, whether it was family or distant relatives. They came to her, they listened to her, and they left with the intention to pass that knowledge to others. About religious matters, Aisha radiallahu anha followed a path, subhanAllah, it was so inspiring to others. When she saw that someone was shy to ask a question, she encouraged them. She made it easier to ask and for them to learn about the thing that they were shy to ask about. Aisha radiallahu anha started a wave of knowledge, a wave that would reach more people and would become even more valuable in future generations, like our very own. To her regular visitors, Aisha radiallahu anha passed on knowledge that she had witnessed and learned in her conversations with Rasulullah, in her observations, in listening to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's discussion with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. And so she learned firsthand from Allah's beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Her school of knowledge was frequented by Umar radiallahu anhu and his son Abdullah ibn Umar, Abu Huraira, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu anhum, and for well-known companions such as Amr ibn al-As, Zayd ibn Khalid al-Juhani, Rabi'a ibn Amr al-Jurayshi, Sa'ib ibn Yazid, al-Harith ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhum ajma'in. The scholars of the next generation competed with each other to benefit from her spring and well of knowledge. It is said that these scholars who attended her lectures and who listened to her teachings were around 150. Urwa ibn Zubair, Qasim ibn Muhammad, Abdullah ibn Yazid, Alqama ibn Qais, Mujahid, Ikrima, Shabi, Zir ibn Hubaysh, Masruq ibn al-Ajda, Ubaid ibn Umair, Aswad ibn Yazid, Muhammad ibn Sirin, Abdurrahman ibn Harith ibn Hisham, Ata ibn Abi Rabah, Sulaiman ibn Yasir, Ali ibn Hussein, Yahya ibn Ya'mar, and others were those who benefited from Aisha radiallahu anha, just to name a few. Her school of knowledge consisted of both men and women, and in the gatherings there were important women like her sister Kulthum bint Abu Bakr, Amra bint Rahman, Asma bint Abdul Rahman, and Mu'asa al-Adawiyya. And I'm going to talk about many of them inshallah in the coming programs as well. Being a student of Aisha radiallahu anha was no doubt a special virtue. Wouldn't we all wish to have been in her presence today? Allahu Akbar. The people closest to her were envious, but in a good way, of that knowledge she had. And they wanted to be able to benefit from her fully, to draw from her lessons, to learn from her, and to keep Islam and the legacy of knowledge and learning well and alive. Next week, inshallah, we start learning about her foremost students, her most distinguished students, learning about them, learning about their legacies as well, inshallah. Turning now to your messages and your reflections, let's turn to the WhatsApp, and the first is from Sister Yumna. It says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah, enjoying your program greatly. Whenever someone criticizes me, I always tell myself to give them the benefit of the doubt. Alhamdulillah. Yes. You know, there's a difference between being naive, being bitten from the same snake twice, that type of thing, yes. But to just pause a moment and reflect, and when we push the ego aside, we start learning more about ourselves, and we realize where our strengths and weaknesses are, definitely. The next message says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Excellent advice on dealing with criticism. It's something that the youth need to learn today. They get very upset very quickly and don't let anyone help them or advise them. I think when we criticize, whether young or old, it must come from a place where we are kind, where we are kind and considerate towards others, and we realize and ask ourselves, how would I like to be spoken to if I was criticized? So only criticize in a way that you wish to receive. Wassalam, Fatima. Jazakumullah khairan, Sister Fatima. Definitely, when we're criticizing someone else, if I were to be criticized like this, would I receive and accept it with grace? And if not, then there's something wrong in how we're criticizing the next person, right? Alhamdulillah. Brother Yunus of Malaysia says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah. Jazakumullah, brother, for your always your feedback and your support of the program. Alhamdulillah. Let's turn now to the emails that you've been sending to me. I'll try and read out as many as I can, inshaAllah, and reply personally to those that I haven't been able to read out on the program. So let's go to the first email. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I always believe that when we criticize an ex-person, we must remember that Allah can see me, Allah can hear me, and Allah knows everything. On the day of Qiyamah, even if I criticize the person constructively, I have to answer to Allah for that. Wassalam. Definitely, we're accountable for everything. And if we keep that in mind, inshallah, alhamdulillah, we will make sure that our interaction with others when giving constructive criticism is in a good and in a healthy way. One more email that we have time for says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I hope that you and all the listeners are well. Listening to your program here from Zambia today. Please make dua for all of us in this part of the world where we so badly need water and rain. Alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of Southern Africa, any part of the world that needs rain, needs water. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower beneficial rain. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. About the program, she says, he spoke about the exam of life, and I think that when we go through something so difficult like losing loved ones or having a trauma or tragedy in our lives, that's when we start realizing that this dunya is nothing. It's actually just a test and we have to pass this test. When we remember that, it becomes much easier to deal with the dunya and we're not so afraid or scared to meet death. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all husn al-khatim, meaning a good ending. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. That's all we have time for on today's live edition of Revival in Motion, coming to you from Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. On the program today, we discussed how to deal and dish out criticism as a believer. We spoke also and reminded ourselves in our reflection segment about this life being a test and that we need to remember death every day so it will help us in the path of this life. And finally, we were inspired again by the vibrancy and the charisma of Aisha radiallahu anha as she disseminated knowledge to her foremost students. Jazakumullah khairan for listening in, for sharing with us your reflections and your feedback. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.